Well, good morning for those watching and listening online. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. We are continuing our series, Sins of the Fathers, as we look at breaking generational dysfunction, baggage, sin. There's a story about a woman who is making Thanksgiving dinner with her daughter, and she cuts off both ends of the ham, and she puts it into the pan and then into the oven. The daughter just looks at her and says, "Mom, why are you cutting off both ends of the ham?" She says, "I don't know. That's what my mom did. That's what grandma always did." And she's like, "Well, can we call her and ask why?" And so they get her on the phone and they ask grandma. She starts laughing and she says, "I only did it because my pan was too small." We all inherit patterns. And some make sense and some don't. And some we should continue and others we should stop. And at some point, we have to ask, why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? And there's this moment from the book, From Broken Boy to Mended Man, where Patrick Morley reflects on how he grew up in a home where love was never spoken, it was just assumed. In fact, his dad never told him that he was proud of him. He never gave him any words of encouragement. So he grew up thinking that silence was normal, that approval had to be earned. And so when his own son came along, he found himself repeating the same patterns as his dad, defaulting to silence instead of affirmation. And then he realized this, quote, "I was living the script I had been handed, but I didn't have to keep reading it," end quote. See, instead of repeating the cycle, he chose to rewrite it. He started telling his son that he was proud of him, that he started saying, "I love you," without any reason other than to tell his son that he loved him. That one choice, small but intentional, changed the trajectory of his relationship with his son forever. Now, how many of us are living a script that we did not write? And really, the question comes down to, are we going to continue the story or will we rewrite the story? It's possible that you never thought about this before. Maybe you've been living out patterns you've inherited without realizing it. And let's be honest, some of those patterns are good, others not so much. Some weigh us down and others keep us from experiencing the kind of life that God actually wants for us. And here's the thing, we're not alone in this. Every single one of us is shaped by what came before us. It's not just a me thing, it is a we thing. That's what I want to talk about today. So we all carry this invisible weight. And here's the thing, whether we realize it or not, we're all carrying something from the people who came before us. Some of it's a blessing, others not so much. It could be a burden. For some of us, it's so deeply embedded in us that we actually don't recognize it until we start seeing it in our own kids. And we're thinking, man, they look just like my mom. They sound just like my dad. And then it's like, uh-oh, do I sound like that? Oh, man, I do. Like maybe you swore you'll never yell at your spouse like your parents did. But then one day in the middle of an argument, their voice comes out of your mouth. Maybe you grew up in a home where money was tight, and no matter how much you have in the bank, you still carry this fear of not having enough. Maybe your dad always put work first, and now you find yourself doing the same thing, missing moments with your kids while convincing yourself that you're doing it for them. I just want us to pause, and I want this to sink in. If you and I don't stop the cycle, it won't stop with us. If you and I do not stop the cycle, it will not stop with us. Someone once described generational sin as like an echo in a canyon. The words that we hear today aren't new. They were spoken generations before us. But if no one interrupts the sound, it will keep bouncing back generation after generation after generation. And the question is will we let the echo continue, or will we be the one to silence it? See, what if the habits that you and I excuse today become the battles that our kids fight tomorrow? Like, if we don't confront our anger, I believe that we're going to pass down a home filled with tension. If we don't deal with our addictions, we're going to pass down pain. And if we don't model faith, I believe that we will pass down apathy. Because here's the hard truth. You and I are all leaving something behind. You're going to leave something behind. I'm going to leave something behind. And the question is will it be a burden or will it be a blessing? The Bible is super clear, and it's painfully honest about how sin and brokenness travels through families. And like we see it in the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that each generation struggling with deception. We see it played out in David's life, and in fact, in David's family, where his sins of lust and power didn't just stop with him, it wreaked havoc on his kids. And we looked at this the very first week, that God speaks to this reality of generational sin. He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 20:5-6. Now that sounds harsh at first, right? And let's not miss the point that our choices really do echo beyond us, that sin does have ripple effects, but so does obedience. Like, did you catch the ratio in that verse that 3-4 generations suffer from sin's consequences, but 1,000 generations benefit from faithfulness? In other words, yes, generational sin is real, but God's grace is greater. Sin echoes, but grace roars. Your family story doesn't have to be your future. The patterns that plagued generations before you do not have to define you. And the past does have power, but God is more powerful than our past. And what started out as a cycle of brokenness can end as a testimony of redemption, that what your family started doesn't have to be what you finish. God, He specializes in rewriting family stories. And take King Hezekiah, for example. His dad, King Ahaz, was a disaster. I mean, he was a disaster. He abandoned God. He led the nation of Judah into idolatry. In fact, he even sacrificed his own children to false gods, which were fallen angelic beings. Notice Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king. And we've talked about this, that 20 back then was a lot different than 20 today. And he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. And unlike David, his father, and David wasn't his direct father. Again, it's talking about how he's part of David's family line. He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out of the Israelites, before the Israelites, excuse me. He offered sacrifices and burnt incense at the high places, on the hilltops, and under every spreading tree. 2 Kings 16:2-4. Now we understand there's this principle of generational sin, right? The sin does have a ripple effect. And you'd expect his son Hezekiah to follow the same path, but no. No, he broke the cycle. In fact, notice in 2 Chronicles 29:3-5 that he restored worship in the temple in the first month of the first year of his reign. Like, he had a game plan going in. When he became king, it was going to go back to what it was like with David. He opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites. He assembled them in the square of the east side and said, "Listen to me, Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the temple of the Lord, the God of our ancestors. Remove all defilement from the sanctuary." Not only that, but he removed idols from the land. 2 Chronicles 31:1. When all this had ended, the Israelites who were there went out to the towns of Judah, smashed the sacred stones, cut down the Asherah poles, which some scholars believe were just big penises. They destroyed the high places and the altars throughout Judah and Benjamin and in Ephraim and Manasseh. Notice, and they had destroyed all of them. The Israelites returned to their own towns and to their own property. Hezekiah chose a different legacy. And because of his faithfulness to God, his reign was marked by God's blessing, God's protection, and God's renewal. Now look, I'll agree that not all generational sin looks like child sacrifice. But just to be real, if you grew up in a home full of anger, will you be the one to lead with self-control? If faith wasn't a priority in your family growing up, will you be the one to change that for your kids? If you were raised in scarcity, will you be the one to trust God for provision? Someone has to be first. Will it be you? And it wasn't just Hezekiah that broke that cycle. Believe it or not, his son Manasseh reversed everything his dad did. He went back to what his granddad Ahaz did. And then, believe it or not, one of their descendants broke the cycle. And that was Jesus. Sometimes we forget that Jesus came from this broken family line where Abraham, he lied to save himself, putting himself in front of his wife, who he put in danger. Jacob was a manipulator. Rahab was a prostitute. David committed adultery and murder. Manasseh was the most evil kings in Israel's history. And Jesus, he wasn't born into a perfect family line. He was born into a long line of dysfunctional, scandalous, and sinful men and women. But that didn't let his family history define who he was. Instead, he rewrote it. He broke the cycle. Notice what Paul, someone who dedicated his life to learning the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, writes in Romans 5:19. For as by the one man's disobedience, talking about Adam, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. Adam started a generational cycle of sin, and Jesus broke it. From Adam, we inherit sin. But Jesus, the better Adam, gives us a new inheritance, one of righteousness and life. See, Jesus didn't come just to forgive our sins. He came to break their hold on us. Jesus didn't just come to cover our past. He came to rewrite a new future for you and for me. He didn't just stop the echoes of generational sin. He replaced them with the sound of grace, healing, and restoration. See, in him, your story and my story can be different. See, we've seen how brokenness runs in families over the last month, but we've also seen that Jesus rewrites stories. And now it's your turn. There's a story in the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, when Moses says to the people of God, right before they go to the promised land, that he's not going to be able to make it because of sin. He gives the people this final word, and he says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. See, Moses is calling the people to renew their covenant with God before entering the promised land. This choice, life or death, blessings or curses, isn't just about their individual lives, but about the generations that will come after them. And biblically, life isn't just physical existence. It also signifies walking in obedience to God, dwelling in his presence, and experiencing him, experiencing his faithfulness and his goodness. Death, on the other hand, represents separation from God, both in this life and the next. And here's the truth. What you and I don't deal with, we pass down. What you don't deal with, you pass down. What I don't deal with, I pass down. If you and I don't deal with bitterness, our kids will learn resentment. If we don't deal with anger, our home will be ruled by it. If you and I don't deal with sin, it will not stop with us. It will actually grow roots within the next generation. And if you let Jesus rewrite your story, I believe without a doubt that you can hand down something better. You can be the one that breaks the cycle, because through him, you and I don't have to carry the weight of our family's name, our family's mistakes, our family's patterns, and our family's sin. You get a new name, a new identity, and a new legacy. I love the story of Demario Davis. He's a linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. He's a follower of Jesus, but he didn't grow up in a stable home. In fact, his parents divorced when he was young. He was raised by his mom, and she ended up remarrying. And believe it or not, he took on the last name of her new husband. Changed it to Davis. See, he took on a new identity. And that's what we have the opportunity to do when it comes to our faith. That Jesus gives us a new name, a new identity, a new legacy. See, remember in Exodus 20 that God says that the effect of sin can last 3 to 4 generations, but blessing can last 1,000 generations. Guys, that's a much better inheritance than money. That is a legacy worth fighting for. That is a legacy worth waking up every day for. Because if you and I break the cycle of neglect, our kids are going to grow up knowing they're deeply loved. When you and I break the cycle of faithlessness, our grandkids may grow up knowing Jesus because of you. If you break the cycle of anger, your home can be a place of peace instead of fear. The choice you make today doesn't just affect you, it's generational. And here's the truth. If you don't break the cycle, if you don't stop it, it's going to continue. And if you do break it, a new one begins. And that's what Jesus is calling you and I into. There's two things I want you to think about. One, what is one thing that you want to break, but sin has kept you from breaking it? And number two, who in your life needs to know that they don't have to be who they've always been? Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for your compassion on us. We recognize the truth that sin is so destructive. Sin is not just destructive in our own life, but it's destructive in the life of our kids and our grandkids and generations that will come after us. Sin is so destructive. We thank you that Jesus came to break that cycle. We're so thankful that he's the greater Adam. We're so thankful that Jesus doesn't just come to forgive our sins, but he came to break their hold on us. And so, Father, maybe for those that are watching, listening for the first time, don't have a relationship with you, and they're hearing this for the first time, and they really don't know what to make of this. First, I ask that you would soften their heart, that they would recognize that Jesus did what no one else could do, that he lived the life that they could not live. He was sinless. He was perfect. He died the death they deserved. The wages of sin is death. And through his resurrection, he gives us eternal life. That they would embrace that, they would accept that. Father, for those of us who have been followers of you for quite some time, I just ask that we would dive into our relationship with you, God, that we would be the one that stops the cycle of brokenness, that we would rest on your strength and your power and your help to stop the cycle. And Father, we would, instead of passing down burden, we would be passing down blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.